Good morning, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. It is good to be here again on such a beautiful Lord's Day morning to share from the Word with you. We're not currently using Christian Light for our Sunday school. So since you already looked at Joshua this morning, and since you already saying that you know whom you've believed and you're persuaded, I think I can sit down and we can go to lunch. The title of my message this morning is Leading by Faith, and it's taken from the first chapter of Joshua, and I'm going to look at verses 1 to 9. But I'm also going to look at other scripture, primarily taken out of Joshua, that talks a little bit about the character of this man. If I would ask you to think of a leader, someone who stands out, and I wouldn't necessarily say it would have to be a biblical leader, but I would include them. When I am asked that question, I think of a few people, but I almost invariably think of Joshua in there. Joshua is a leader who has a very notable testimony, and we talked about it in Sunday school, but it is simply that it comes out of chapter 24, it's verse 31, we looked at it this morning in Sunday school. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and had known all the work that the Lord did in Israel. That is quite a testimony for a leader. Now, lest you think I'm preaching a qualification message, I'm not. I am maybe, but that isn't my primary focus. Because there is probably not one person here this morning who is not a leader in some sense of the word. There is very likely no one here that someone isn't following or looking to as an example. That means you're a leader. And that means, and this is actually a very sobering thought, that means if I could live as Joshua lived, and everyone under my voice could live as Joshua lived, there wouldn't be much need for me to preach the word. We would be serving the Lord without question. That's a sobering thought as I apply it to myself. So who was this man? Let's look at who he was. Some background. Numbers 27, verse 15 through 18, talks about Moses making clear who was going to take his place. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." That was Moses' plea to God. This was God's response. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit, and lay your hand on him." God knew who should follow Moses. Now, Joshua had been Moses' servant all this time, and it was mentioned in our class this morning, perhaps from as young an age as 15. Joshua had walked with Moses. What I find interesting here when the Lord responded one of the attributes that God said, in whom is the Spirit? What Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, someone who knew who God is, someone who knew who is God. And how did he know who God is? Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. In whom is the Spirit? Lay your hand on him, on it, obviously commissioning him. God goes on to commission him in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them, and I will be with you. If the Lord tarries, and I have health, very likely in the next week, you will see me up front here commissioning men to lead. I can't imagine, and that one day that was me. One day I was one of the men that was being commissioned. I cannot imagine being in the place that I just described, where God actually showed up in person and commissioned Joshua. Now, lest you think that God isn't doing the commissioning when he uses us as servants to do it, he is. But there would be something special, something extremely humbling, if God were to show up like he did here with Joshua and say, be strong, be courageous, for you shall bring this people into the land that I swore to give them. The most important thing in that is this: I will be with you. Because if the Lord's not with us, we're not going to get the job done. We're not. Without the Lord, the job's not going to be get done. So God commissioned Joshua. If we go on to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1, Moses makes plain to the people who's going to be their leader. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy the nations before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go before thee, as the Lord has said. Going down to verse 16. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. It goes on there, and a number of times it talks about God going before, not forsaking. Have good courage. Trust in me. We could sum it up in the words we just sang, for I know whom I have believed. Do I really know whom I have believed? Joshua certainly did. But do I? Does Jason know who he has believed. Do you? I find it interesting that in verse 6, the Lord thy God, he that shall go before thee and not forsake thee. And then back in, I believe it's verse 3. Yeah, verse 3 says, the Lord God, he will go before you. And then just a little later it says that Joshua, he will go before you and he will lead you. The point I want to bring out there is that God went before them always. But sometimes he used the channel of Joshua that they could visibly see to go before them, that they could follow. God's leaders today are simply his channel. They are simply his servants if they are yielding to him in humility and know who he is. They do nothing that he doesn't do for them. It wasn't Joshua that enabled them to drive out the people. It was the Lord that drove out the people of in the land of Canaan. But he used Joshua and his leadership to do it. Now, there's one more aspect I need to mention before I move on, and that is simply this. Joshua was part of the people. Today, your leaders are part of the people. They're not above the people. They're not special. They're part of the people. And yet, God chooses them out to lead in the work that the people are doing. In the verses I just read, a number of times it said, be faithful, be of good courage, don't fear. You know, it is impossible that God would forsake us or go back on his promise. That would be impossible. God could not possibly fail me. However, could I fail God? Could I fail God? The answer to that question is yes. If I forget who is going before, if I forget who is leading and doing the work, if I forget whom I've believed in, then I could fail God. The question that I ask myself and you is simply this: how often do I fail God? We talked extensively about Joshua's track record, and it's exemplary. It is. What does Jason's look like? What does yours look like? We're going to get into this a little more, but God had huge work for Joshua to do. He had confidence to say to the people that Joshua will go before you. He used it in the same sentence as I will go before you. And I leave you before we move on with simply this question. Can God count on me? And can he count on you with that same level of trust that he counted on Joshua? Can God be that confident that I will do what he asks? Probably going to say this again a little later, but when I'm standing here talking, I don't know what you're envisioning in your mind. Joshua being commissioned in front of this group of people as our leader. This is a pretty small group here this morning compared to the group that Joshua was in front of. It was at least hundreds of thousands of people, possibly into the millions, that Joshua stood in front of. And I point that out to simply ask this question. If I would be there today, or if you would be there today, in front of a group that size, what would my level of faith be that God could do what he promised? Especially if I had the knowledge that Joshua had, and I saw what kind of people these really were. They could really complain a lot. They could do some other things a lot too, and we'll look at that here in just a couple minutes. But what level of faith would I have in my God? Would I really know whom I believed? Who was Joshua? He was one of the 12 spies. He was one of the two that said, we can do it. What was his view of God? Numbers 14:6, and this is there in the spy story. Numbers 14:6, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through and searched is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and he will give us this land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them. Fear not them, sorry. The Lord is with us. Fear not them. Okay, the setting here, and you probably know it. Josh, the 12 spies are in front of all Israel. Again, this big multitude that I just talked about. 10 of the 12 said, we can't do it. There's giants there. There's all these things wrong. What was Joshua's view of God? And I just read to you what it was. What I didn't read is verse 10. Verse 10 says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Hundreds of thousands of people. Okay? You're going against the tide now. You're going really against the tide and standing up for God. Did you note what he said in verse 8? If the Lord delight in us. Does the Lord delight in us this morning, brothers and sisters? Does the Lord delight in you this morning? Does he delight in me? Because if he does, then we have nothing to fear. If he does, there's nothing we need to fear. Not even 100,000 people that are out to stone us. What happened? What happened when the Lord delighted in Joshua? And Caleb, he showed up. As humans, we look at this situation and we say, well, it's all but impossible that Joshua's not going to get stoned. Two men against a rebellious multitude. But we're thinking like men. When God shows up, things change. And that's exactly what happened. God showed up and protected his servants. He was willing to stand up for what was right, but more than that, and this is key, more than that, he was willing to stand up for who God is, and for God's glory, and for God's honor. That's what Joshua cared about. He didn't care about the people. He didn't care about being stoned. He cared about God's honor and who God was. Can God trust me? Can he trust you to stand up like that? Can he delight in me and you this morning? Do I know who God is? I just sang that I do, but do I really know who God is? And bigger than that, can he trust me to stand for him? He crossed Jordan at the flood stage. And we all know that story. I'm sure the people inside Jericho weren't too concerned that the Israelites were going to cross the river right then. It was flood stage. It overflowed its banks. It was raging. Would I have the courage? And no, I should re-ask that question. Would the people that followed me, my leadership, have the courage to walk into the Jordan River at flood stage? Because the Lord told me to tell them to do it? Would I have the courage to follow a leader that did that? At God's command, would I walk into the pick your river at flood stage and trust that the waters would part? You know, I don't know how it is for you, but all these multitude of Bible stories that we have, this being one of them, they sound great to actually put myself in their shoes. And then it's not quite as great as I thought it was. I forget that they were mere men and women, just like I am. And what set them apart was their view of God. They knew who their God was. One last thing about Joshua, and this is probably the one maybe that we don't talk about as often. Would I have the faith, I'm going to use that word now because that's in the title of my message. Would I have the faith to ask my God who delights in me to ask the sun to stand still? Could I do that? Would I have the courage to ask God to have the sun stand still? Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. It's a little hard to pick up in the translation, but it seems plain to me that Joshua was not ordering the sun. He was not ordering God around. He was simply asking the Lord. Then Joshua spake to the Lord, it says. And without tone of voice, without more than that, we don't know for certain. But knowing the man, it is pretty plain that he had the courage and the faith to ask God to do this, trusting that he would. And he did. In everything I told you thus far, there's a pattern to the man. And it's simply this. Joshua was willing to put himself at risk for God's glory. Joshua was willing to put himself on the line to be killed, to be made a fool of, you fill in the blank, for anything, for God's glory, so that God would be glorified, so that Israel would be blessed. He was willing to put himself on the line. Will God fight for me today? Will he fight for you? The answer to that question is yes. The answer to that question is yes. The next question is where the question is, am I willing to ask him, and do I have the faith to believe he will? Am I willing to ask, and do I believe he'll do it? How much courage and how much faith, again, put yourself in Joshua's shoes, does it take to say, God, will you make the sun stand still so we can win this battle? On what was his heart set? Joshua 24:14, again, we looked at this morning. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. And we know he knew something about faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the regions beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That sums it up. But it wasn't just words. He was willing to live it. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, upon that I've given, every place that your foot, sorry, let me start over again there. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I have said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall be no man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto them, unto their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which the Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. That sounds like a great promise, and it is. But when I turn it back, because that promise is still true for us today, when I turn it back, is my faith strong enough? Is my heart pure enough? Is my love for God and my focus of who He is sharp enough that He could trust me with that promise? See, it's never about God. It's never about, is He going to be able to do it? It's always about, am I going to be good enough to be His child? The same as it was for Joshua. Would He find me unwavering like Joshua? Or would He find me to be wishy-washy? Would He find me holding to the truth that He could put that blessing upon me? Or would He find me swayed by the winds of society and those around me? Is my faith strong enough that I can claim the promise? Because it's there. The promise is still there. It wasn't only to Joshua. Is my faith strong enough that I can claim the promise? Single-mindedly focusing on Christ and His mission and calling. How about yours? And again, I'm not just talking to church leaders. Every one of us is called to the same calling. My response would like to be, by the grace of God, yes, I will do that. I'll be faithful like Joshua. But then I need to focus single-mindedly on my God. I would wish that everyone here this morning would be able to do that as well. That would be my desire, that we could all respond back, yes, Lord, by Your grace and Your power, I will be a Joshua. I will follow His example. Why did God promise Joshua and Moses this? Why do we talk about these men? And there's others as well. What is it that God sets them out? Why does He do it? It's about their relationship with Him. It's about how they viewed Him. It's about their relationship. It's about how they walk with Him. And you know what? He longs for that today from every one of us. He longs to have that same relationship where He can walk with us like He walked with Joshua. Verse 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in day and night. You know, they didn't have anything but the law. We today have so much more. They had the law. But the path to success lies in their case, it was a law. In our case, it's a word. Both the spoken word and the living word, Jesus Christ. But the answer to how do I keep my faith? How do I walk worthy? How can I not fail God? It's the same as it was there. By taking heed to His word. By meditating in it, by having a relationship with Him, by knowing Him, not just knowing of Him or knowing who He is, but knowing Him for who He is in a relationship that changes my life. of our sins by saying, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Oh, there are strings attached. I must do something besides just come to God. I need to walk with Him. I need to walk in His way. I need to take heed to myself and my heart. Yes, when humanity is involved, then there's the chance that I will lose sight and lose faith. And God won't be able to accomplish His purpose with me. Not because He's not able, but because I'm not willing. Did you ever stop to think about the fact that God is this amazing God, this creator of all the universe? There's absolutely nothing He can't do, even making the sun stand still. And yet, He never makes me do anything that I won't willingly do. Did you ever think about that? I never do anything for God that I won't willingly do. He never reaches down and says, oh, Jason, but by the way, I'm God and you're going to do that because I'm God. He never does that. That's because He's God. And He gave me choice. And He gives me the freedom to exercise it. Because of that, I might choose not to do what He wants me to do. God's promise to me won't fail. My promise to Him could, only if I lose sight of who He is and He loses control of my life. While God won't reach down and make me do something He don't want me to do, we all know what Jesus' words were, that no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one, nothing, no one, not even the raging mob was able to pluck Joshua out of the Father's hand. However, Joshua had the freedom to choose to leave it, just like you and I do. So while God has promised He will not fail us, it is up to me to look back and reciprocate and say, God, I won't fail You by Your grace and Your power and Your strength. Because at the end of the day, that's the only way I can be successful. We spent a lot of time looking at Joshua this morning. And it wasn't Joshua who made Joshua successful. It was God who made Joshua successful. Because Joshua allowed him to. Joshua was sold out. Completely sold out to God. He cared about God. He cared about God's image. And he cared about doing what God wanted. And with that single-minded focus, he didn't look around him and care about the people. It didn't matter if hundreds of thousands of people didn't believe it was possible. If God said it was possible, he believed God. And he was willing to stand up for it, that God would get the glory he deserved. Not that Joshua would. You look at his life, and we talked about this in Sunday school, he was humble. But courageous. Why was he courageous? Because he cared about God and God's image. And when God said, I promise, he believed it. In fact, he was willing to even ask God to do what seemed impossible. Because God said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll make your way prosperous and I'll give you the land. Leading by faith. Joshua was an excellent example of that, and there could have been others. I leave you with this challenge. When our lives are looked at, when my life is looked at, both now and when I'm gone, and when your life is looked at in the same lens, what will it look like? Will it look like Joshua and his example and his testimony? Or I could say Moses or any host of men and women out of the scripture. Will it look like that? That chapter is not written yet. But the way to have confidence that we'll be seen as men and women of God, faithful leaders, faithful followers, humble servants, is simply to look at who God is, to focus on that, to focus on His glory and His command, and then single-mindedly follow it by His power and His grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for every brother and sister who is here this morning. Father, I pray your blessing on them as we leave here. I pray that we leave here with you, that you will go before us, that you will give us opportunity, that you will make our way prosperous, and that you will empower us to accomplish your purpose in our world today. Lord, I pray that as we go into this week, I pray that your Spirit will guide us, that you will work in our minds and our hearts and our spirits. Lord, we need you to lead. We need you to show. We need you to walk with us. We need you to empower us. Father, I pray that as we call leadership, that you will reveal what you already have planned and know. I pray that out of that we will be blessed, encouraged, and strengthened to be men and women sold out to follow you single-mindedly, as the example we looked at from your word this morning. As we do that, I pray that you will be able to accomplish today, in this world, in this place, the work that you have for each one of us, just as you used Joshua to accomplish your purpose and your work then. Enable us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Give us hearts of humility, hearts of love, and hearts of willingness to serve you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only God, the one who is able to do above all that we can ask or think. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have a song and then Sam will close.